All right, Matthew chapter number 24. And I'm going to skin this cat a little bit of a different way. Hey, Brother Lance, good to see you. I know you're having to work a lot of hours and stuff. I'm glad you made it in. Matthew chapter number 24. And what I want to do is we're talking about the difference in the tribulation period or the second coming of Christ and the rapture and the importance of that. So it's a little bit more teachy than it is preachy. But it's important for you to get a hold of. It's interesting that so many people quote Matthew chapter number 24 as evidences or to show you that the rapture and the tribulation or the rapture and the second coming, excuse me, are the same thing. And yet there's a couple of verses in this thing that if you were to do that, you're going to show yourself in the tribulation period. Now, everybody here knows that your salvation or your plan of salvation, there's destiny right there. You want to tell them what happened to you today? I'm embarrassing you, I'm sure, but...
Amen.
Destiny got saved today. She come up on the platform after the church service, and she says, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. She said, it's about salvation whenever you have time. She said, I need to get saved. I said, oh, I think now's a good time. Let's go now. So,
amen.
Brother Kim, good to see you, and Miss Carol made it back in. Glad y'all are here today, even though I'm trying to readjust. Yeah, that's great news, man. Great news. Justin was pretty happy about that, too. So now he's got to get reacquainted, got a whole new wife. And when she goes through menopause, you get another one. Keep this one long as you can. Oh, that's funny. Y'all relax. I feel for you, ladies. I really do. That y'all got the hardest part there, so... Anyway, so when it comes to your salvation, you know, like we talked about this morning with Miss Destiny, how that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, was buried and raised again the third day according to Scripture. Your salvation is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast, all right? In the tribulation period, there's a time period going on, and if the church is there, then you would have to endure to the end. And if you're going to have to endure to the end, if you don't endure to the end, then you're not going to be saved. If you get these verses messed up, you not only doubt your eternal security, doubt your salvation, but if you're in the tribulation period, you would lose your salvation. Matthew chapter number 24, look if you will please in verse number 13. Make it 10. And then shall many of them be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That's not the mantra of the local independent Baptist church. It's not supposed to be like that. And many, I like Sunday nights. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Father, thank you so much for your many blessings. Thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the folks that managed to make it back in. We pray now, Lord, that you might be with us for a few minutes here this evening. And we pray that your blessings upon all those that are abroad and traveling and those that are sick, that you might be with them. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now we covered this. We went over the book of Revelation. But anytime you see the end show up, it's always a reference to the tribulation and then the second coming of Christ. And so you want to be real, real careful that you don't get those two things messed up. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor ever shall be. So the context of where we are right here in this particular passage is you endure to the end of the tribulation. The way you endure to the end of the tribulation is you either endure until the second coming of Christ, which is where the Battle of Armageddon takes place, or you endure until you get your head cut off. Probably, believe it or not, chances are pretty strong that in the tribulation, you may, especially if you hit the toward the end of the tribulation, when you go around, you try to die for a period of 5 months and you can't die. That's where you get all the zombie stuff and everything from. So when he's talking about the tribulation, you don't have to do anything. You could be actually unfaithful and still be saved. But if you're unfaithful in the tribulation period, then you wind up losing your salvation, and then you wind up, at the end of that, you wind up dying and going to hell. Now, I know this is new to some of you. Come to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25. And the reason I'm pointing this out is to show you that they're two entirely different things. The fellow out there out in the West right now, he's going around, he's quoting all these verses right now and telling you, you have to endure to the end of the tribulation, endure the government coming and taking your guns away from you. You have to endure the FEMA camps. You have to endure the martial law that's coming upon you. And he's got people all worked up in his church about this governmental issue. The end of this thing is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your enemy during this time is not your government, it's the devil himself. You don't want to be here for a time period like that. The enemy is far and above the government. He put out a whole movie. It's a couple hours long. And in that movie, he's constantly talking about what you're going to have to do to survive in the tribulation and how you're going to have to hide and you're going to have to do these things because the government's going to be after you. Your enemy is not the government in the tribulation period. Your enemy is the devil himself. But the bad thing is, leave your finger here in Matthew, come to 2 Thessalonians, I've showed you before. The bad thing is that if you were to be here in the tribulation, you couldn't be saved anyway. You either get saved now, like she did this morning, or a year after the rapture happens, you can't be saved. I remember that guy sitting across the table from me one time. We were talking about getting saved and that kind of a thing. And I told him that the Lord was coming and told him, you know, he'd let my dog out. I gave him my key. I handed him my key across the table and let my dog out. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll watch and see. And if y'all do go, then I'll believe. I said, yeah, but the problem is you won't be able to. And I happened to have a New Testament in my car. And I went out and got my New Testament. And I sat down there with him back when I was a policeman. I went through there and I showed him the passage I'm going to show you. And he said, what does that mean? I said, it means that God is going to send you strong delusion that you should believe a lie because you've already heard what the gospel is. So that even if you were to see us go, you wouldn't believe that we went that way. You'll think some alien come snatched us down or there was some kind of rip in the veil of the thing that CERN did and caused a bunch of people to disappear or some explanation that's out there for it. But you wouldn't believe the rapture took place. You ever think about it? If you were left behind, what would you think? Would you believe it was the rapture? People aren't going to believe it was the rapture, even if they are reading Left Behind books. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Second coming. Where is he coming from? He's coming from heaven. That's with us. That's him coming from the up there where we are. We'll be riding back with him. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That's the devil coming. Excuse me. That's the devil that's there coming down. Watch it. How does he come? Power, signs, lying wonders. Charismatic kind of a movement. Power, signs, lying wonders. Call down fire from heaven. Heal the sick. Cause all kind of things to take place electronically and otherwise. Able to take a statue and give that statue life and make that statue talk. Brother Josh was talking to me at youth camp this year about these. They make these toys now where it's an inanimate, like a car, but then it turns into like a half-human, half-car. So that won't be that odd for somebody to see something like that take place or transpire, but this will be an image, and the devil gives him the ability to speak. And that's the devil. I saw Satan fall as lightning. You're in the month of where they're worshiping the month of light or something, the giving of the light giver. That's Lux Fiero in Latin. That's the giver of light. They're celebrating him this month, the month of September. That's the devil. That's not the Lord. The Bible says this, and even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So when the truth was given to them, they wouldn't receive it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's a couple of things you want to get there. Number one, they didn't accept the truth. Number two, light rejected becomes lightning, so now they can't get it. Number three, the Lord, because they have rejected the truth, the Lord himself sends them a lie, not the devil. That's God saying, you didn't want to believe in me, so I'll go ahead and let you believe the devil. And the lie that they believe is that Satan is God. Come back to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. Now, if that were to be you, then that means you're going to be here at the second coming of the Jesus Christ, and you would be gathered in the valley of Jehoshaphat over there in the valley of Megiddo where the battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. The battle of Armageddon is all of us against them, us coming from up in heaven. The bride's made herself ready. She's adorned for the battle. You get on your horse. You come down through the universe there, the Lord leading the charge. You come down through Mount Sinai, around Mount Sinai there, and you go out into the battle of Armageddon. I'm still hearing all the chatter they're talking about now because you had warships off your coast up there in Alaska while your president was in Alaska doing some kind of an economic deal. What are warships from China doing there? Does anybody even bother to ask a question? At the same time off your east coast over here, you had a Russian submarine with, a Russian trawler out here with Russian submarines and stuff on that out there over on the east coast while he's up there on the west coast. Anybody ask why that is? How come they're trawling around your coasts? Ask these military guys. They'll tell you. They're there all the time. They just decide when they want to make it known and not known. Those people are out there on a regular basis, but they're trying to get you to think something odd or unusual is going to happen to get you all worked up and stuff. Well, he's out there doing that, and now they're starting to, well, what happens if China does this, and what happens if Russia does that? And China and Russia have been seen meeting together, and so now the Russian bear and China's gotten together, and they're going to come together against the United States, and they're going to fly planes over here and drop EMPs on us and drop a bomb on us. The Battle of Armageddon's coming. The Battle of Armageddon doesn't happen in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. It happens in Israel. And the way your nation is right now, your Supreme Court, once again, da 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 da. Your Supreme Court just said, we don't, whoever they think they are, recognize Jerusalem as part of Israel any longer. Well, first of all, it's not a law. Why are they weighing in on it in the first place? You can look it up. But ladies and gentlemen, to make a public statement like that, to say, we don't recognize Jerusalem as belonging to Israel, why, they got that thing in 1967 and have had it ever since. 1948, they moved back over there. 1967, the Six-Day War took place. They took it, bless you, they've had it, they've held it for all that time. And now the United States says, well, we don't believe it belongs to you anymore because they want this two-state solution. So they're going to try now to give, when you're meeting this month, interestingly enough, they're meeting this month at the United Nations. What are they going to discuss? They're going to discuss the two-state solution, Israel and Palestine, and it's going to be done in the United Nations. Say, so what do you think about it? Well, it'll be peace. It'll be wonderful. It'll be peace. That ain't your land to give away. That's God's land. He gave it to His people. You better not be giving away His land. Last time you try that, Katrina came and did about, you know, $25 million worth of improvements down in New Orleans. I said it right. You just had the 10th anniversary of that thing. They made all the big deal about what a bad, that was a terrible tragedy and stuff like that. I don't know why a preacher didn't stand up at some point in time and say, well, you know, you can't keep living like that before the Lord will come by and flush the toilet every now and then. He did with Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, but preacher, well, I'm just telling you, some things are setting up. The orchestra's tuning up. You're messing. They got Israel back in the news now. You got Israel. They're going to discuss Israel. The United Nations is going to sit down and determine whether or not they should give Israel's land to Palestine. It's not their land. It'd be like them sitting down. You own this piece of property here. And they sit down and say, well, we've decided we're going to go ahead and give that to the people that live up there in Georgia. Well, you'd get mad as a hornet, wouldn't you? It's not their land to give away. That's what they're planning on doing. I think that comes the day after the Pope comes over to visit here, has a private meeting with your president, and then goes and addresses Congress. What's a religious leader doing addressing political people? Well, now, preacher, I don't know. Well, if you start looking at the Bible, you start seeing some things that are beginning to come together right there. You're starting to see at least an interest in that stuff. I don't believe the Pope is the Antichrist, but I believe he could be a good candidate for the false prophet. I hope you're getting, some of you are getting a little bit nervous. I hope you're thinking, well, what does that mean? That means things could get pretty bad pretty quick. That means that whatever's stuck in your crawl, whatever's bothering you, you ain't going to have to worry about it a whole lot longer. Things could go from bad to worse and then worse again if that all takes place. You say, why? That's God's chosen people. If you mess with those people, but you stop and think about it. After he addresses Congress, what's he doing addressing our Congress? Rome, Vatican, that's their own state. They got their own troops. They got their own everything. What's he doing over here? That's unprecedented. Do you know history? That's never been done in history before. And then he's going before the United Nations. Why? Who wants to hear that guy? But have you ever studied him under his other name? Take some time and look that up yourself. I won't even go into all the other details and all that. But you ever study what that guy's been charged with before? He's now your pope. He's the first pope that ever came from a Jesuit background. Do you know that they don't have Jesuit popes and that's written in their own law? But who pays attention to law anymore? Your president went up and addressed and took over and chaired the United Nations place. That's forbidden in your constitution that you claim to hold so high. How come he did it? He said, I don't care what y'all think. I'll do whatever I want to do. If y'all don't let me do it, I'll do it anyway. That's what he said. You say, well, what do you think about that? I don't know. It looks like things are starting to strike up. You know, I think it's going to move in that direction. And the Pope comes over here and they say, well, we're going to put him in as the Pope. And they send the smoke up the thing, that and that of a deal. And he's a Jesuit Pope. Why can't he be there? Because you'll have what they would call where the army takes over, because he's in control of the armies. That's a black Pope, not in skin color. That's the difference in a regular Pope and a Jesuit. Any of y'all Catholic, were Catholic before? Brother Roger's not here. Anybody? You know anything about Jesuits? Not much. Y'all weren't good Catholics, you can count. but that's in their own, he broke the law. That's against their rules, and he's the Pope anyway. Now, preacher, what do you think about that? I think the stuff I'm giving you right here is right on time. I think that you better be glad you're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works. I think you better thank God that when the Lord sounds the horn, you're going out before the devil takes his seat, and then you go from there. I think that's a great thing to know that you're saved and you're going home. That no matter what happens in current events, you don't have to worry about it. You're going home to heaven. But it is interesting to see how close it could be. You've got things right on the edge right now where things could jump off real easy, and life as you know it could change. That's why you want to keep an eye to a sky. Well, what are you going to do tomorrow? I got a bunch of work to do tomorrow. Well, I mean, aren't you just going to sit down and... No, I got work to do. Like they asked Luther one time. They said, Mr. Luther or Martin Luther, they said, if the Lord were to come back tomorrow, what would you do? He said, I'd get up and plow my taters. You say, why? He had taters to plow. If the Lord comes, I'm ready. But if not, I'm plowing my taters to put them up so I have something to eat for supper the next night. You don't just quit working and go get a sheet and sit up on a mountaintop somewhere. Or back in the old days, you don't see them much anymore. They'd have they'd have these things called Hare Krishnas, and they shave everything on their hair except a little top knot. It looked like that I Dream a Genie thing or something. And that little top knot was here, and that was so that when the Lord came by, he could grab them by the top knot and snatch them out. Or, I don't know, maybe an Indian come by and scalp them. One or the other makes it easy. That's funny. Verse number 25:11, talking about faith and works in the tribulation. You have to pay attention to this. I failed to mention to you over there in the chapter number 24 when he says, and this gospel shall go to all nations, the gospel of the kingdom. Your gospel is never called the gospel of the kingdom. Your gospel is called the gospel of the grace of God. That's Christ died, buried, and rose again the third day. The gospel of the kingdom is Jesus Christ is your Messiah and he's on the way. It's two different gospels. That gospel goes around. You say, why? That thing is written in Matthew 24 before Paul is even known about. The mystery of the gospel, the grace of God, is not even known. So guess what would happen? He's preparing people to be here and saying, when that gospel goes all the way around to the world. So you have people right now on the radio and all and saying, the gospel hasn't made it all the way around the world. You don't have to worry about your gospel making it around the world. The Lord's not going to wait for the rapture to take place until that very last one gets saved. The very last person hears the final, hears the gospel. Once it made its way all the way around, then the Lord's got to come back. It's not even talking about the one you're preaching. And if you preach the gospel of the coming Messiah, then you're sending people to hell because that's a gospel that has works involved with it. Look at this in Matthew chapter 25, verse 11. How many of you have heard individuals say, I just believe, you have to do something to keep your salvation. Anybody ever heard that? That's works to get it or works to keep it. It's in the Bible, but it's not for you. Matthew chapter number 25, I am moving out. Verse 11, afterward he came and also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, verse 13, for you know neither the day nor hour, watch it, wherein the Son of Man cometh. So if that's not the Son of God, that's what you're looking for, that's the Son of Man. What happened to these virgins that went out there? They didn't have the oil, they didn't maintain their lamps, so because they didn't maintain their works, when he came, he didn't let them in. Because it's faith and works in the tribulation period. Look at verse number 30, the same chapter. Verse number 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can be an unprofitable servant and still be a saved, but you're never called a servant, you're called a bride. You're not called a servant. You might act like a servant, but you're not a servant. Look in James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. I know most of you know these things, but it's kind of good to go back over them every now and then and just be reminded how good God's been to let you be born where you don't have to have faith and works to get saved. But there's somebody that does. James chapter number 2. Preacher, it's just the same all the way through. Could you, any of you in here, take a Bible and show me in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, where Noah is there. Could you, anybody in there, show me the gospel of the grace of God? You know how Noah got saved? He believed what God told him about a flood coming and built an ark, and him and his seven other family members escaped the flood, and Noah was saved because he believed what God said, and he had to build the ark, not because he looked forward to the cross. When Jesus Christ came, let me ask you this question now for some of you that are new. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, can anybody ever tell me when Jesus Christ preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection? Can anybody show me Peter preaching it until after Acts 15, after he met with Paul? Why, when Peter goes over there to preach to Cornelius, he doesn't preach that. You say, what are you trying to tell me? There was a different setup. There was a different way of things doing. Now, that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be in the Bible and it's not a conflict. It's a matter of timing. So that after the rapture takes place, if you're preaching the gospel of the grace of God, you'll send people to hell, because if they were to get saved that way, if they don't have works that follow by keeping commandments, they wind up losing their salvation. Now, let me see if I can help you to understand it this way. Let's say you're saved right now. There's a big hullabaloo right now about this RFID chip and are about them giving you the skin thing, especially with the new Apple Watch thing that came out and all that. A fella asked me a few weeks back, he said, hey, don't you think that's the mark of the beast? I said, no, I think it's a watch. I don't care if you got one of them. If your eyes are good enough to be able to see it, I mean, you know, if you can see a screen on there, you want to draw a smiley face or whatever you do with them things, that's not the mark of the beast. Well, yeah, but, you know, it's connected to who you are, and it reads your pulse, and it does that and the other and all that kind of. Well, good, then it can read it when I'm dead. It don't matter. You go to the hospital, they don't hook you up to the mark of the beast. They hook you up to a heart monitor. So the thing keeps the deal while you're running or something. It's probably down there with the little guy on there going, yay, I'm glad you're doing something. You were getting fat, you know. I mean, who knows? But that's not the mark of the beast. Well, now the next thing is going to be where they're actually embedded into your skin, where it's not just a chip of rice in your web of your hand and that kind of a thing. They're actually going to embed it like a tattoo where you can, you know, I guess, you know, play the keyboard or whatever it is on your actual skin. And that kind of a thing. That the mark of the beast? No, it ain't the mark of the beast. You say, why? Because he ain't here yet, and I'm still here. You don't have to worry about your driver's license or whether you have a computer or whether or not you can talk to your car and ask your car to take you wherever you want it to take you with the GPS thing and all. That's not the mark of the beast. It might all be interconnected, but if you really want to grab a hold of what the mark of the beast is, when they put that stuff on you, that has to do with correcting and changing your DNA and making you think differently and make you follow after and wander after the beast. It has nothing to do with just you using electricity or electronics or computer technology in order to be able to accomplish things so-called faster. Technology is moving so fast nowadays that it's obsolete by the time it comes out. It's moving at a whirlwind speed. You can't even keep up with it. But that's not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is when you're integrated into that system and connected to the beast. Example, it's sort of a technological way. Maybe it's just to help you to understand it better. When you get saved, like I told Sis this morning, when she got saved, she became bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She was born again, spiritually born again. She became a child of God right then. You believe that, right? Born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. You're called born again, right, according to John, and you must be born again. All right, so it's a spiritual new birth that took place, and soul was cut away from her body there. And so she understands that. All right, so now she's in the body of Christ, right? She's integrated into the body of Christ. Well, the devil can't do that, so he's got to connect you somehow. So he connects you in a different way, using the same sort of thing, by using frequencies and things to tie you together with it. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say this. Maybe somebody here that I don't know, some kind of a secret agent or, you know, undercover, you know, 007 or something like that, and, you know, something like that, and, you know, nobody else knows it but you, that kind of a thing. But I dare say there's anybody in this congregation that the government is interested in tracking. Peacock got up today. He got coffee, and He went to the hospital, and he went to so-and-so, and he went to so-and-so. What a drag following this guy around, man. What's he doing, you know? He tried to win some people to the Lord, not him, and nobody accepted him. He ain't really hurting us at all. Let's not worry about it. I mean, what that does is it plays into your own ego to make them think, oh, yeah, they want to know where I'm at. They don't care where you drive. They don't need your car. Have you seen how many military vehicles they got? They can drive a Humvee. Why do they want to drive our car? They can drive a tank or jump in an airplane. Why do they want your car? Most of our cars are beat up, busted up anyhow. You have to drive them, have to take them to the shop to get them to work. Well, they want your car. It's got 200,000 miles on it when they can get somebody else's brand new Cadillac. But that plays to your ego, see? That makes you feel like, oh, they're wanting to know where I'm at. They're tracking my banking transactions. What difference does it make? All you're doing is paying bills with it. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, I've got a whole bunch of it piled up in the middle of my room one day, and I'm actually going to be challenging Warren Buffett for who's going to buy the next island or something like that. It's not like that. That just plays to your ego. But when you're gone, He's interested in the souls of people, not their physical property, and He'll integrate them into the satanic body the same way the Lord integrates us into His spiritual body. And that's when you start kind of really grabbing a hold of what's actually going on. That's what's so dangerous about that computer. It's getting to the point now where you're interacting, where they're getting holograms and stuff, where there's a going backward and a forward. There's an avenue that's open on that web, and it begins to transverse back and forth and back and forth. The light of the body is the eye. You keep transferring back and forth. You're touching the keyboard. You're able to talk now to these things. I can text now on my phone without, after somebody showed, might have been Drina showed me, but I can text on my phone without having to touch the keyboard. I just talk to it and it types. It don't always get it right, so if you get something and it says something weird, it's because I didn't read. What's the point of having it if I got to read it after I text it? So I just go ahead and say it. Well, if you're driving, you ain't supposed to be doing it nohow, right? So I don't read it. Drina's like, honey, what did all that mean? I said, I don't know. I just said it, and I sent it after I sent it. I said, send. And it takes off like I typed it. I didn't type it. Something out there took it off my voice and did that kind of a deal like that. You say, what is that? That's not the devil, ladies and gentlemen. It may be used by the devil, but you're still here yet. You're not in the tribulation period. So don't sweat it. Don't get to being such a big deal about it. I'd watch the stuff with your kids. I've told you and told you and told you. I think that stuff's dangerous stuff. I think it opens up avenues that are better off. They're better off leaving them shut. It is into another world. It's a satanic world. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and give you just a little bit of a historical information. It might be interesting to you. It might not be interesting at all. Right now in CERN, Switzerland, where that CERN's machine is, that's 17 miles of a circle where they run those that Hadron collider. That thing runs around at just a tenth under the speed of light, and they get them up to speed, and then they bang them together to find this God particle. They have Shiva, the goddess of destruction, that's out front of that place over there, which is unusual if you think about it. But here's the weird thing about it. That's the same place and the same people where your internet was created. And it's interesting that they came up with www or 666 for the web. That came from the exact same place, CERN, Switzerland. Same group of individuals that turned that thing loose that now connects everybody through a computer. You're connected. Just a matter of time before you're connected to the computer. Some of you already are. I can tell. If I preach more than about an hour, y'all start, you know, you start having withdrawals and stuff, you know. Your hand starts wanting just twitching because it can't wait to text or something, you know. You want to text, you know, my response to the message is I would love to come down there, and currently I'm busy because I can't make it down there. Would you just send a text down to the altar for you instead of coming yourself? It's getting like that. So I just think you ought to be careful with that stuff. James chapter number 2. Y'all think I'm crazy. I can remember the day when they thought the old preacher was crazy, when he would say, one of these days what's going to happen is the Lord's going to send from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God, dead in Christ are going to rise, we which rise may. And he said, they're going to claim a UFO got you. And I can remember when a bunch of preachers said they thought he had lost his mind, he had gone absolutely crazy. And if they were to say that now, why, nobody'd even bat an eye. I'd be willing to bet you if right now, which is coming, compliments of the Vatican, I'd be willing to bet you right now that if extraterrestrial life showed up out here and some ship floated up over this place right here, you people would yawn and say, let's go get a hamburger. You're so inundated with that stuff now that it wouldn't be a surprise to you at all. None whatsoever. You believe there's aliens out there, don't you? Yeah, there are. But they're not aliens, they're demonic. It's demons. Principalities, power, spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness in high places. That's what's flying around up there. That's their atmosphere. I wouldn't want to step out above the sky for nothing in this world and step out into that world out there in that solar system. What's out there? Ghoulie monsters are out there. James chapter number 20. I believe, or James chapter number 2. Look in verse number 20. 2:20. Now James, we have to get James in the right place. James 1 says, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So you want to be careful in the book of James. Verse number 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? How many of you have heard that? Well, I just believe if you're saved, Brother Nathan, you come to church, read your Bible, pray, and if you ain't saved. There ain't no fruit. That has nothing to do. There's nowhere in the Bible that teaches you in the Pauline epistles that you've got to have works to prove your faith. Now, granted, a lost person can't see your faith without seeing the works. You can make a practical illustration. But doctrinally, this is an individual that has to prove his faith is alive by working. The Bible says, was not Abraham our father justified how? By works. When he had other Isaac, his son, upon the altar, seest how faith wrought with his works. By what works was faith made perfect? The two combined together. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed in him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Ye see then, see, faith without works, see, you have to be able to see, how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Well, don't you have a problem now? Ephesians 2:8-9 says you're not saved by works. This says you are. Well, which is it? If you don't rightly divide your Bible, now you've got yourself under a system of works, and now you're working yourself to death to prove to yourself and everybody else. You talk to some of these fellows that know some things about Calvinism, they'll tell you they about killed themselves constantly trying to prove to everybody and themselves they were saved because they go to church, read their Bible, study, visit, do everything they were supposed to do because that was evidence that they were saved. The same way, ladies and gentlemen, that a charismatic says the reason I'm saved is I have the initial evidence, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and speak with other tongues. And so they'll get up and ostrich untie, untie a bow tie, and because they can do that, they say, well, I must be saved, otherwise how could I speak in another tongue? I don't know. I've heard a lot of women speak in tongues when they're yelling at their husband. Amen. I've heard a bunch of kids say some things. I'm positive we're lost, but they were saying some kind of something or another. Some of the music I hear nowadays, I guess they know the words, but I can't tell what the words are. That has nothing to do with your salvation. But it did for somebody. When it comes to tongues, there was always an unbelieving Jew present, but it doesn't for you. Verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified how? By works. Rahab the harlot's the one that let the red cord out there. She hid the boys in the barrel there from the bad guys that were trying to get them. When she had received the messengers and sent them out another way, the body without spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead. Not for you. Your salvation is secured in Jesus Christ. You have to talk a lot of the older people out of that, and you have to help to show them that. Look in Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. You have to help them with that because especially where I just came from, up there in the mountains in Tennessee and stuff, it's all about works. Alabama's bad about that. I just believe if you're saved, and then they'll add whatever it may be to it. You know, you got to make tater salad or something like that, whatever it might be. I just believe if you're saved, you'd be wanting to come to church. I just believe, you know, they used to have in the old days called fruit inspectors. And that didn't mean your fruit was, you know, whether or not you led anybody to the Lord. It said, did you stop wearing your breeches, your shorts? If you were a woman, did you quit wearing breeches, start wearing a dress? Did you quit wearing makeup and dangly earrings? Did you quit going places you shouldn't go and all that? Well, we know you're saved because we can tell that you burned all your breeches and you wear dresses down to the floor now. Thank you, Brother Jerry. That's how it was in those days. Well, if she really got saved, I just believe she'd change to whatever you think she should change to. There's no evidence of anybody getting saved like that. Maybe she's slow. Maybe she just does it to irritate you. I believe if you're really saved, you'll quit gossiping. How's that working out? They never say that. It's always some outward appearance, see? It's always something on the outside. Well, that boy, if he got saved, he'd get a haircut. Now, back in the days, this will be in the mid to late 60s, and then on up with the hippie era there, and then on up to the mid 70s, and Vietnam ends around 74, 75 there. And guys, in protest to the Vietnam War, they wore their hair long, and hippies wore their hair long. So when somebody got saved, the first thing they wanted to see, as a matter of fact, in those days, a lot of churches had a barber chair in the foyer of their churches, and when somebody got saved, the first thing they did was take the boy out there to get a haircut because, you know, it's a shame for you to have long hair. Even nature teaches you that, and if you really saved, you want to get a haircut. So God gets saved and go out there, and they put him in the barber chair and knock his hair off and say, oh, he's saved. Look at him. He's got his haircut. That didn't mean nothing except he was joining the Marines or something or Navy or whatever. Do you know why they shave your head when you go there? Because you ain't got time to fool with it. That's to make one less thing for you to do during the day. That's why, you know, the kids sit there and cry and bawl and squall and all that kind of stuff. I told Drina Lynn one time, I said, I'm just going to shave mine off and have a burr. She said, you're mean enough looking as it is. If you do that, it'd be terrible. But it'd be a lot less to fool with, you know. Hebrews chapter number 6. Look in verse number 4. We got to move on. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, saved, and tasted the heavenly gift, got the Holy Spirit, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. You know what he just said right there? It's impossible if you mess up after you're saved for you to get saved again because you're hopeless. Well, you ain't getting saved again. But somebody has to. They can lose it, and if they take the mark of the beast, they can't be renewed again under repentance. I told Sis today, now you got to make sure you make the proper delineation between two natures now. You have the flesh and you got the spirit. Don't ever equate your eternal security with your flesh. You always equate that with your salvation is of your soul, not your flesh. Your flesh hadn't been saved yet. That's why the Lord has to change your body into a body like unto His. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Just a couple more. I'll let you go home. I can tell your eyes are getting kind of heavy. Sometimes I feel like while I'm saying this, y'all are hearing, you are getting sleepy. Especially Sunday afternoon for some of you that stay up here all afternoon, you know, you may go get you some groceries or whatever, and then you come back here. I feel like I'm talking and I'm giving you the Bible, but you're hearing, you are getting sleepy, sleepy. Your eyelids are about to, and then, like that. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 26. For if we sin willingly after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I could stop right there and just say that. If we sin willingly after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You can't get saved. Now, don't raise your hands, but let's think for just a minute, okay? Now, I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in the world, but let's think for a minute. Anybody in here, don't raise your hands. Your natural, involuntary response is going to be, anybody ever sinned a presumptuous sin after you've been saved? What's presumptuous? The Holy Spirit said, don't, and you did it anyway. You ever done that? Well, according to this, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You're done. You sinned after you were saved. That's this idea that now that you're saved, you can't sin. Well, your soul can't sin because it's not connected with your flesh anymore. But your flesh can sure sin. Well, in the tribulation, if you do that willingly, you lost something. Let me show you a couple things in the book of Revelation. That's a pretty bad deal. You say, why? Well, what the Lord's trying to show you here is that you're saved by grace. You don't have to worry about that. But in that passage right there, he's talking about Moses and the law. He's talking about his people. And that's a time period during the tribulation. That's not for you. So why are you telling me that? Because those people are going to be here. But if you're going to make the church go through the tribulation, these verses I'm giving you right here would apply to you. Now, it'd be easy to fill a church up that way. I could teach you faith without works is dead, so you better be in church every time because then I can question whether or not you're really saved, because if you really were saved, you should be in church because faith without works is dead. Or I could challenge you like one preacher did. He challenged his people to read their Bible through in a year, and then he was checking them, and then people that didn't finish, he said, well, faith without works is dead. You might want to check and see whether or not you need to be saved. That's called the doctrine of the retread. Back in the days of camp meetings and stuff like that, you'd always have preachers get up and make people doubt their salvation. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? Did you sin willfully? They'd use these verses I'm giving you. Did you know better than to do it? You did it anyway? Well, then you're not saved. They wouldn't say that they lost it. They would say, well, they believe in eternal security. But you must never have gotten saved in the first place. Listen, you sinning after you're saved doesn't mean you weren't saved. It means you're backslid, or what we call out of fellowship. But it doesn't mean you're lost. I don't believe in retreading people just to try to get converts or try to get numbers or to say, look how many people got saved. I was preaching at a camp meeting the other day. One preacher called me from down south of here, and he said, I had to call you. He's all excited. He said, we had a preacher's wife saved tonight. And I said, really? I said, well, they just get married or something? I didn't know. He said, no. He said, they've been married 45 years. He said, she's been in the church all that time and stuff, and the whole time she was lost. I said, what do you mean she was lost? Well, she didn't know she was saved. Well, when I finally got the rest of the backstory, she had stepped out on her husband and stuff, and then he had convinced her, well, you wouldn't have done that if you really were saved, so it's really not your fault for you to have done that, so you need to get saved. They have a camp meeting, she gets saved, and then chalks it up to, well, I wasn't saved, I didn't know any better. You were saved, you're just walking in the flesh. Galatians 5, that teaches you clearly that you can commit those things even though you're a saved individual. But if you're going to put the church in the tribulation, which you know me, I don't, but if you are, you have to apply all these verses. You can't apply salvation by grace through faith and eternal security and then tell me the church is going to go through the tribulation. If I had an opportunity to sit down and talk with that young man out there, I wouldn't even address the second coming and the rapture and the tribulation period. I would just simply say, you believe the church is going through the tribulation? Yeah. Then show me how you can apply eternal security, and I'd give him the verses I'm giving you. If the church is going to go through the tribulation, how are you going to do that? All of a sudden there's a gear change. So some of the church is eternally secure, but then once you're in the tribulation, whatever remnant is left, they wind up having to go through the tribulation without having being eternally secure. It won't fit. You can't have it both ways. That comes from not rightly dividing your Bible. Once you're gone, it changes. The same way after the Apostle Paul got the gospel there in Acts chapter number 9, and then he comes back after 3 years on the backside of the desert and he starts preaching it by Acts chapter number 15, there was a change that took place. They didn't preach the gospel of the kingdom anymore. They preached the gospel of the grace of God. You've got to grab a hold of that. Revelation chapter number 14 or 12. Stop at 12. Revelation 12. Revelation chapter number 12. What are you going to do with a verse like this? If the church is here in the tribulation, what are you going to do with this? This has to do with the woman who was Israel here and brings forth the remnant that goes out to the Red Rock City of Petra, and the devil is waiting there to persecute the remnant of Israel that's there. That's the woman up there with the 12 stars, 12 for Israel, 12 Joseph's, 12 sheaves down, 12 stars down, 12, 12, 12, 12, all through the Bible. Israel, 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 Jew, 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 Jew. Why? Tribulation, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people to finish the transgression. That's his people. That's Israel. That's the nation of Israel. They're not you. You're not his people. You're his bride. All right, notice what he says. The man-child is brought forth and so on and so forth, and she runs out there to the Red Rock City. She's only got a short period of time. Don't come down and get you a sandwich or whatever. Take off flying and run because the flood comes out after you. Verse number 15, the servant was cast out of the mouth of water to the flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up the mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast into his mouth. That's a literal dragon, and that's probably Jordan that he's taken up in his mouth there. And it's a literal flood that he sends out. It's not a bunch of armies that are coming after Israel. It's water, just like it says. There's a lot of these sophisticated guys nowadays say, well, what that flood right there is really, that's an army. Find me a place in the Bible where a flood's an army. I'll save you the time. He's talking about water. Verse number 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, the dragon, the devil, wroth of the woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant, the man-child born, which one, keep the commandments of God, and two, have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Could I ask you a question? If you're under grace, how is it that you have to keep the commandments? Have you read Colossians 3? Didn't he nail the handwriting of ordinances to his cross? Well, somebody has to keep it. You say, what is that? Keeping the commandments, isn't that works? Do you keep the commandments for salvation? You don't keep them for anything, do you? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, the days may be long upon the earth. God being first in your life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy body, with all thy mind. This is the first commandment with promise. Do you have him first? You don't keep the commandments. You try, but if you don't keep them in the tribulation, you lose your salvation. Revelation 14, and we'll go home. Go ahead and take your toothpicks out. I don't blame you, folks. I'm impressed y'all continue to come. It's an amazing thing to me. You folks just, you keep coming and you keep coming and you keep coming. And it's just a real blessing the way that y'all continue to come to church and continue to study your Bible and pray. It's a blessing. All right, let's see. Revelation 14, let's go down to, 11. 14:11. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up. How long? That means it never quit burning. Forever. They have no rest, day nor night. They're not an inanimate object. You hear religions nowadays teach you about annihilation and all that. They have no rest. If you're annihilated, then you wouldn't exist. These are individuals that have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. They're damned forever. Revelation 13, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. What saints? Not church-age saints. Not millennial saints. Not Old Testament saints. Here's the patience of the saints. Patience, works. What is it? Tribulation saints. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So you have to hold on to something. You have to keep the commandments in order for you to be saved. All right, I hope that helps you. We're nowhere near done with that yet. We'll continue to go through that. This is an answer to a question that was asked in Bible study. And in Bible study, you have a lot of questions that come up, but there's a lot of preachers that are coming off of your pre-tribulation position on the Bible. Your Bible's pre-tribulation. You get out before, but there's a lot of them that are moving. They don't even think before they act. I just gave you all these things. If you're going to go through the tribulation, then you better get busy working, because your soul depends on it. You don't have to worry about it. You're saved by grace through faith, so you don't have to worry about it. All right, stand together. We'll be dismissed.